In the world of augmented reality and virtual reality headsets, 2023 was another slow year for the market. But with the arrival of new headsets from Meta and Apple, it's beginning to look like we might see a rebound in the space. On this episode of Today in Tech, we're going to see how far the needle has moved, if it moved at all, in the world of spatial computing. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Today in Tech. I'm Keith Shaw. Joining me in studio is Ramon Lamas. He is the research director with IDC's Augmented and Virtual Reality Program. And welcome back to the show, Ramon. We had you on last year when the Vision Pro was announced. So welcome back to our studio.
Thanks for having me back.
So again, it's been probably, let's see, six, seven, eight, nine, about 9 months now, and the Vision Pro did come out. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But the reason I have you in here was that IDC recently released numbers that said the global market for AR and VR headsets grew 130.4% year over year during the fourth quarter. So that would have been the holiday season. And full year shipments, however, were down. So that would indicate kind of a slow year overall. But, you know, what were some of the market forces that you saw that made that jump in the fourth quarter? Was it just holidays or was it something other than that?
You know, that 130.4, it seems huge.
I know.
Like, oh my gosh, triple digit growth. You know, buy stock everywhere in this. Look, we're still talking about a small market. We're not even at, like, say, five, 10 million units.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Meanwhile, you go to like the mobile phone market, the smartphone market, where they do, a billion units a year.
Yeah.
Where some companies put out a million units per day. Okay. So when you come right down to it, we're still looking at small volumes overall. So, take this 130% growth year over year, by quarters, grain of salt.
I got duped by the numbers a little bit.
A little bit.
Okay.
You got to keep in mind. But the thing is, we're showing, we're moving in the direction that we want to go.
Well, at least it's up instead of down, right?
For the quarter.
Yeah, for the quarter.
In a market that is mostly consumer driven, you want to see these kinds of numbers because, this is a new technology that a lot of people are still kind of just scratching their heads and saying, that looks cool. That's really neat. I saw the movie Ready Player One. It looks kind of like that.
Right.
And I see, some of the names are out there, the Metas, formerly Oculus, the Sonys, the HTCs, et cetera. And they are readily available at your, local retailer or online e-tailer, whatever. These still haven't really, arrived, that much en masse to Main Street USA to Joe and Jane Smith.
Right.
Okay. So this 130%, again, going in the right direction,
okay,
but still small.
All right. I got tricked, everybody. All right. So all of these numbers came out before Apple Vision Pro came out. So when do you expect to see some numbers for first quarter, second quarter? Because they released in the first quarter, right? We're not even done with the first quarter yet.
Yeah, they came out in the beginning of February. So
yeah.
As of now, it's been about, six and a half weeks of its availability. And you're hearing all the stories, and we'll get to those in a little bit, I'm not sure. But we got to wait until, the quarter closes. Then, chances are Apple will talk about this quite a bit in its earnings release. End of April, beginning of May. But right now the expectations are kind of tempered. This is not like, hey, turn on the switch and 1,000 flowers bloom.
Okay. But then will you see that raise numbers in other markets that you follow other companies too? Will you see the interest from Vision Pro also bring up potentially other products like Meta's, for example?
I think it's going to happen, but it's going to happen slowly. It's going to happen slowly because, there's going to be some comparisons of, where's the like for like? Okay, I don't want a spatial computing device from Apple. Who's going to come closest to that?
Yeah.
And right now we're just talking about devices.
Right,
okay?
Right.
We're going to talk about the experience. We're going to talk about the software. We're going to talk about the apps and stuff like that. But, I think for all the other brands out there not named Apple, you're going to do one of two things. Okay. Number one, you're going to make comparisons and say, look, Apple does X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Okay. But we do A, B, and C. Okay. And there are a number of companies that are out there who say, yeah, you know what, Apple, welcome to the party. Come on in. The water's fine. You have your lane that you're going to be in. We are in this one over here. And let's show you what we can do to kind of, build each other up. Okay. So that's one path that's going to take place. The other one, and this is going to be the more fun one, is going to be the head on and say, okay, AVP, Okay, Apple Vision Pro.
Are you calling it AVP?
You know, it rolls off the tongue a little bit easier. I don't know.
It sounded like that was a tennis league or something like that. Sorry.
Regardless.
All right, so Apple Vision Pro or AVP.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
You know, there's going to be some more head-on, comparison saying that Apple does this, but we do this better.
Okay.
We do this differently.
And you're already seeing that with Mark Zuckerberg, where he's coming out and he's it's like he's an MMA fighter or something like that, where he comes out and it's like, you know, taking on the Apple Vision Pro. I've covered technology for 20 something years. I've never seen any other company go after Apple like that. Maybe that's why this was surprising to me. And that someone is willing to say, no, our product is a lot better than this. Because like in the smartphone, you remember the smartphone days, right?
Oh, totally.
When the iPhone came out, no one ever actually came out and says, well, our phone is better. Maybe Microsoft did.
You know what?
But their phone stuck.
Well, you know, that may be true. And the numbers kind of bear that out because Microsoft, you know, came and went, then came again and left.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would argue that, you know, during the smartphone days, there was iPhone.
Yeah.
And then there was Android.
Yeah.
And over a course of probably about 5, 7, maybe 9 years, we were all glued to our monitor saying, okay, you know, here comes the big release of the next version of the operating system, let alone the device itself. And you could see the one-upsmanship against the other. Like if somebody came out with, hey, you know what, we have
feature,
very next year, the other one would say, now we got it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that kept on going. It was such a great ride. But, you know, look what happened in the process. We all got better smartphones.
Yeah.
And we all saw like a clear competition. We all saw a clear benchmark to kind of compare our smartphones. So if you had an iPhone or an Android or not, okay, you could see how that all kind of played through.
Can you look at that market and then transfer it to AR, VR, XR, whatever R comes
MR,
out?
R, R squared.
Can you do that, or is it a completely separate case?
You know, I think it needs to happen. Mm-hmm. It needs to happen, period. Because, you know, any market where it's just one vendor ruling the roost, well, now at that point, every single user, if you're a commercial user, if you're a consumer or somewhere in between, you are beholden to that one vendor and what they decide to do. I think with the Apple Vision Pro, or if you prefer the AVP, you're going to remember me for that one.
I know. Okay. I know.
You know, with the AVP, now there is a clear and present, I'm going to go so far as to say danger, you know, to the Meta Quest and also, and, you know, vice versa and for Apple. And so I think over the next, you know, for few years or maybe even, you know, decade or so, you know, both companies are going to come out swinging against each other and say, well, that company's got this. Look what we got. Look what we can do.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, who's the beneficiary of that? Everybody who's looking to get these things.
Okay. So we didn't talk about the Vision Pro or the AVP. When we did an episode of the guys from Computer World and Mac World, and they told us their impressions. And there's one guy who's really gung-ho about it. The other guy was a little bit more cautious about it. What were your impressions? Were you able to use one yet, or are you just kind of looking from the sidelines?
Mostly looking from the sidelines, but boy, you know, you talk to
you have to read a lot of reviews, and you read a lot of those takes.
Yeah, and you know, talking to a bunch of our other analyst friends, we're all comparing notes, and you know, the one word that keeps on coming up, you know, time and time again, and this is not so much hyperbole, is that, you know, boy, you know, the experience is magical. I'm like, okay, I get it. Now let's take down a notch or two and say, wow, you know, this is it's very impressive what Apple has accomplished. Okay, from the UI. The displays, how they kind of make it so gosh darn easy, because let's face it, that is Apple's DNA. Okay. You can pick up almost any Apple device out there, turn it on and give it to, you know, my kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're kind of off and running with it. And that's kind of what people have expected to this. And Apple's been delivering on, you know, that simplicity part. Okay.
Do you think they did a good job of the rollout? Or is it just they were dealt the hands, or they were dealt the cards they got, and they did the best with it? I talked to someone the other day, anecdotally, who said he felt like that if they had waited a year and really gotten this into the hands of the developers, that you would have seen a product that was so much better than what they delivered. But again, I guess that happens with any product. And he was feeling that market pressures on Apple made them kind of deliver this product the way it is right now. Because again, most of the complaints were about it were the weight and the size, and you know, it gets heavy on you after a while. The cost, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think, you know, no matter at whatever point that Apple was going to come out with this,
yeah,
there's going to be a number of people who are going to be naysayers out there. Oh,
that's
it's
a good
too
point.
Big.
Yeah.
It's too small. It's too expensive. You know, that could happen in 2023. Or 22.
Right.
It could just still happen in 25, but it happens here, you know, today. And we have to take this device, warts and all. Okay. Because and here's the thing that, you know, how I not only look at this device, but, you know, Apple as a whole, you know, they come out with their device. There's a lot of anticipation and excitement built around it. And then, you know, for better, for worse, you have to take it as it is, knowing that in probably the very next iteration, Apple's going to make a ton of changes to this.
Yeah.
A ton. And that could be the price. That could be the displays. It could be the UI. It could be a number of things. But we've seen this with what? The iPhone? The watch? The iPad? I mean, you know, there's a track record here.
I know that they have their playbook, but it's already, you know, again, 6 weeks, right? I think from where we are when we're recording. But I don't see a lot of, like, momentum moving forward the way maybe I would with a smartphone, because you would have more apps that were coming out, and then you discover more apps. And I don't know, maybe it's because I don't own one and haven't experienced of the initial enthusiasm. Has that died down at all? Or are they waiting for those updates?
You know,
and then does Apple say, oh geez, we weren't planning on doing these updates until, you know, WWDC or whatever in June. Maybe we got to push that out a little sooner.
You know, give it time.
Okay.
Give it time. I mean, like,
you know me, I'm just like, I got to get things now.
We all want it now.
Okay. Yeah.
Trivia. When did the Apple App Store come out?
Apple App Store 2009.
Okay. When did the iPhone come out?
2007.
2 year lag.
I know.
Between apps
and device. I didn't start paying attention to it until the apps came out. And then 2010 was the iPad, right?
I think so. It could have been 11. It could have been 11.
I related to when I started having kids. Like, that was the year.
Well, you know, regardless, I mean, yeah. You know, you kind of hit the nail on the head, is that the device comes out first.
Right.
Okay. And the apps are going to follow. And you know, if there's one thing that if I could, you know, wave my magic wand and go back in time and say, Apple, this is one thing that it would really help if you kind of, you know, focused on this part the most, you know, it's going to have to be that app story. It's going to have to be that experience story.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as we saw the launch and we saw the announcement, what was the big thing that Apple was playing up? Like, oh, wow, this would be one huge, glorious display that you can, you know, expand to like 120 feet in front of your eyes. I'm like, okay, it's a display.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I also have a big screen TV at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That I'm watching at the same time with the rest of my family.
Right.
Okay. There's got to be more to that. There's got to be more to that. There's got to be some other things that I can interact with and play with and, you know, get more things done in my day beyond.
Okay, I wonder if people were looking for the perfect device, and then when they didn't get it, maybe they were like, it's not the perfect device yet. That could be part of it too.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. But, you know, let's remember, this is going to change by version 2.
Right. Okay. So, you know what I need to do is I think I need to go to an Apple store to see if there are lines of people waiting for the demos. You still have to reserve time to get a demo, I think. All right.
Yeah, you can't just walk in.
You can't just walk in.
I made that mistake at a store not too far away from here. But they said, yeah, you need to make an appointment. We have to get everything ready. This isn't just a drop-in.
Is it like a test drive of a Tesla where you have to then show that you have the ability to pay for it? Or can you just sign up and say, I just want to try it?
You can show up and just say that you want to try it, because I don't think, you know, the end game, it would be nice for them to sell a unit. Absolutely. Would be nice for them to sell 10 units. Hey, even better.
Yeah.
But, you know, at this point in time, I think the mission for Apple is really just to get it out there, get the message out there, get the influencers out there, get the media out there, and get them talking about this device.
And so are you seeing that? Because you cover it more than I do, because again, I got to cover a broader area of technologies where you can focus on the AR, VR. Is there, from what you're reading and seeing, is there still a lot of excitement around this?
There's interest.
Interest, but not excitement.
I'm not going to say excitement.
Okay.
I'm not saying excitement because, you know what, I think the price tag alone is your, you know, cold water.
It's like the water in the face, you know, moment. Yeah.
But there's a lot of, you know, people, you know, kind of go by the store and I just hung out by a store one time and I just watched all the people kind of come up to it and poke at it and say, this is cool. And they'll watch the video on the Mac and say, there's something cool about this. And it's more than just, you know, one or two or a handful of people saying, can I try this out?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there were a number of people saying, you know, I want to try a demo of this. And then, you know, the Apple staff said, you know, our next one is, you know, a couple of days from now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that says something.
It says that there's at least demand from, or interest and not, yeah, I guess there's a interest versus demand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess is demand when you put out your credit card and are ready to buy.
It is to me. Yeah.
All right. So we also saw in the last few weeks, Mark Zuckerberg from Meta, who they have a competing product. Some people might say it's not a competing product. I guess what's your take on the Quest 3? Is it a similar, you know, how are they the same? How are they different? How do you, when you're doing all of your analyst reports and predictions and things like that, where do you put Quest 3 in with the Vision Pro?
I think, you know, it really comes down to, at least for me, where does the ecosystem begin and end? Okay. For Apple, it's always within Apple's walls.
Yep.
Okay. And that's where it's going to take place. If you're looking at something like the Quest, which it's, you know, a little bit more open, and let's face it, it's a bit more established too.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I take a look at, you know, what Meta has to offer in terms of, you know, devices, you know, because, you know, there has been, you know, the Quest 2, now there's a Quest 3, there was the, you know, the Quest Pro, et cetera, you know, they're, you know, different products.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially compared to the AVP. And also, you know, different maturity, you know, cycles too. So we have to give it some time.
As an analyst, do you have to, when you're looking at the category, do you have to decide what falls into the category and what doesn't? Like, you have to make some determinations, because someone might say, yeah, this is an AR device. And you look at it and go, no, it's not really. It's more of a VR device.
Yeah.
You know, again, Sony with its PSVR 2, mm-hmm. that's clearly a VR gaming device. Mm-hmm. So does, when you do your market share, does that go into the bucket, or does you keep it out of the bucket? Yeah. Quest, for example, and I'm getting to the point where I don't have the quote. I guess Zuckerberg was annoyed when someone tried to compare the Quest 3 to a gaming device. Like, they were like, and he's like, it's not a gaming device. It's a social thing. It's a, you know, in their mind, they see mm-hmm. the device as one thing, but, you know, the market or other people or other analysts see it as, so is that part of the problem too?
You know,
defining what this market is.
You know, it used to be so easy. It used to be.
yeah. A lot of things used to be so easy.
You know, as they would start out, right? You know, once upon a time, you know, we took this stance of like, okay, there was augmented reality where you could, you know, see, you know, the physical world around you as you wore the glasses, and yep. you would have, you know, digital content in front of your, you know, in front of your eyes, but you could still see the physical world. That for us is augmented reality. Your reality is augmented with the digital content, but you could still see
right.
the physical world. Made total sense. Then there was virtual reality,
right,
where your entire reality was occluded by a display. You could not see the real world in front of you.
Right.
It was all like having a gigantic monitor screen in front of your eyes. That was VR.
So right.
AR and VR, they kind of played nicely with each other.
Okay. So
that's your side and that's my yep. side. And then, you know, then we saw some of the combinations and permutations starting to come out.
Microsoft HoloLens, right?
Microsoft HoloLens, you know, they said, you know, we talked to them and they said, yeah, we're augmented reality. That's pretty simple and straightforward to us. Apple would say something like, well, we're not VR, but we put them in VR because if you put them on, it's totally occluded by a display. Right. But they said, no, we're more of a spatial computer.
Yeah, they said they didn't even want to get in the word right. reality anymore. They just been like, okay, we'll call it spatial computing.
But, you know, to us, that's still kind of, say, you know, a mixed reality because, yeah, you have the pass-through cameras and displays and you can see the world around you, but it's still on a display. So
yeah.
you'll see, you know, stuff like, you know, the AVP, I think HTC does a device on their own. Clearly, the Meta Quest Pro would fall in that category as well. And then there's like a fourth category, believe it or not, where it's called, I think we're calling it either extended or assisted reality,
yep.
where it's basically you have this tiny little you know, display just below your eyeball, and you can see, you know, the world around you. But that's all it is. It's just a display. You can't really, you know, interact with it and you know, move holograms and digital contents around. It's like having a tablet, you know, right in front of your eyes.
Do you have companies that come in that have a new device or something like that, and they want to be included in like, do they come to you, or do you have to kind of go out and see what's being announced in the world?
Ooh.
Take Sorry, a walk. Without giving away any of your secret sauce, LeBron.
No. But, you know, the thing is, you look, CES is what, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Now? And, you know, you couldn't throw a rock very far without hitting, you know, some sort of, you know, XR, some kind of reality device. And, we kind of pressure tested, our definitions and said, these are the 1, 2, 3, 4 categories. Does this make sense to you? Where would you put your, put your devices, in this entire thing? And I would say, 9.5 times out of 10, we were in violent agreement with each other. And it was, that clear.
Yeah.
Okay. And they said, thank God, you're moving away, from just AR and VR because, how are you going to make, market size determinations of, let's say, an AVP, okay, which is VR, okay, versus say a Sony PSVR, which is also virtual reality. And the use cases are very different.
Right.
But
then it becomes about the apps too, right?
And then it does become about the apps. And then, it becomes a silly little game of like, do you use this for gaming first or work first?
Oh.
I'm like, determine first. Okay. Come on. It's starting to come together.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that, from a number of the players out there, they say, this is where you're headed next in terms of taxonomy. It makes more sense to us. It makes sense to you. We look forward to seeing what you guys are going to do from here.
The next phase of this, as we get, if we're talking, next year or 5 or 10, 15 years, is it feels like that everyone that you talk to about VR headsets is like, well, this would be great as long as it was X, Y, or Z, as you said earlier. And so you'd be like, this will be great when you get them into glasses, or this will be great when it doesn't look like ski goggles anymore, but now they look like cyberpunk type of glasses or steampunk. I've heard some people say like, you still need like a big steampunk AR glass type thing.
That'd be fun.
Is that where the entire industry kind of is also agreeing that it's got to be, we've got to get them to a phase where they're lighter, less intrusive, more fashionable looking? I mean, that's another big issue with a lot of things that you're putting on your face or near your face.
If I can come up with a wish list of from what I'm hearing from a lot of people saying, like, I really like it if my glasses had this or could do this.
Yeah.
Then I would make the move. Okay. Let's put price aside.
But didn't we already try glasses though with Google Glass and that kind of failed?
Were those glasses though?
I don't know. It was like a little thing on top of Google Glass, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Technology works best when it comes out when you need it and then kind of just disappears when you don't.
Okay.
Okay. Google Glass was not that.
Okay.
The technology came out.
It was totally in your face. It was in your face, literally.
But weight is certainly something. Battery life is probably even the biggest.
Yeah.
Because how long can you watch a movie on your Apple Vision Pro? 2.5 hours on a full charge. Okay. I can't get through, pick a movie, Marvel's Infinity War.
Yeah.
or other movies of that ilk. Okay. Battery life, size, heat is actually a big concern. Okay, because having, some sort of, enclosed area right in front of your eyeballs.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's just going to feel really weird that, here you take it off and like the rest of your body is fine, but like right around your eyes, you're sweating like a madman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
the neck strain in the back, if you've got this thing on your head for a long time.
Exactly. So yeah. I think, the entire piece about ergonomics, having the health and safety of it all, that's going to kind of come up, more and more front and center.
Yeah.
But as far as us getting these things down to a conventional pair of glasses, like you and I are wearing right now.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Where if I can just touch this and then boom, everything comes, all this information. But then this is what I'd be doing. You'd see me doing this, like with my eyes, we'd be going over because I'd be reading all this stuff. And then I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. Or I don't know if that's going to be the thing, or do I have a wire that comes out and connects to my, in my earbud and then says something like, oh, here's all this information about Ramon. Mm-hmm. And then I can bring that up in the interview. I don't know. I guess there's so many things I can imagine. But I'm wondering if the industry is moving towards that. It's going to be more of a glasses type thing at some point, or is it going to be, you'll still know that it's a VR device.
I think all options are on the table.
Yeah.
Okay. If anything, maybe we'll see, some devices going, moving away from VR, like traditional VR, and more embracing mixed reality because it's still just a display in front of your eyes. Now we add outward facing cameras to it. Now it's mixed reality.
Yeah.
That's the only danger.
Is mobility an important factor moving forward? So You saw the movie Free Guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You know where everything. So he was moving around, and then you could, you know. And I've seen demos of this where you're the guy's walking down the street, and they're like, "Ooh, advertising. Ooh, you know, here's this," and oh, and that was almost a display of like how horrible it could get.
Right.
With all of these ads popping up now, and then you bump into a tree or something. But information popping up while you're walking around. So how important is the mobility factor? Because I know with Apple Vision Pro, no, mobility is not an issue right now.
It's not high on the list as a feature. It's not a top 10, you know, must have kind of thing yet.
Okay? Yeah.
Because I think we still need to kind of prove what that use case is going to be, that you really, really need that. And I think, you know, there are some, you know, commercial applications where, again, if you're in field service, maybe it helps to have that that network connection. Mm-hmm. You know, if you catch me walking down the street, you know, waving my hands around, trying to, you know, select this, that, the other, or trying to send
a text.
I'm going to
move away from you.
No, you're probably going to knock me out and take my glasses and run the other direction.
Well, if I know that you're wearing a very expensive headset on, yeah, of course I'm going to do that. But yeah, I mean, that's a social aspect that I don't think a lot of people have thought about. As you know, we all have this idea in our head about what we want augmented or virtual or mixed reality to be. But in reality, when they get to that point, you're going to look like an idiot like doing that, walking down the street.
Exactly. But you know, but here's the trade-off. Like, yeah, you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we already saw that with the Vision Pro. Done. We already saw like there was a guy on the subway. And again, I heard those were faked like this because you don't actually, when you start moving, mm-hmm. the thing that was on your screen is static. So it's back in the station.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of those videos were kind of staged, but then I saw someone trying to drive with one and it was like, I think that was faked as well.
I hope that was faked, but I saw a guy at a Celtics game with wearing a pair.
I think that was faked as well. I think the Celtics,
I hope that was faked, but yeah. I did see somebody, more than a couple of people on an airplane.
Okay.
And they were just watching, not really mobile. I mean,
right.
You're sitting down the entire
right.
time, but
right.
You know, they are being seen out in the wild
yeah.
at the most.
Do you think they have to get to a point where there's a, I don't want to say common operating system, but at least like with the Android iOS thing, you have only two different OSs out there. Mac, PC, there's two OSs. But each device now that comes out has its own OS, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do we need to see some kind of common OS amongst these, or is it just going to be whatever device, you know, especially in an app developer, you would want to develop for each of these devices. You don't want to actually have to rely on.
Right, right. And you want to go with the one with, you know, the biggest base of all, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, as this, you know, market plods forward, we're still going to see probably about, you know, more than just several platforms to program for. Okay. Vision OS is one.
Mm-hmm.
Where,
just because of the size yeah, of the company behind yeah. it.
What Meta's using right now, if you want to call it, you know, the Meta OS, you know, okay, fine. Magic Leap, we haven't talked about them.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there's going to be a number of operating systems out there. And I think we're going to have to slog through those before we can kind of say, okay, you know, there's like two or three clear ones that we have to take account for.
Okay.
But we're definitely not there yet. It's hard to pick up, you know, an overall.
Yeah, so you don't see an open source OS at some point or some kind of like Android-like thing.
And you know what? It would be nice, but because, you know, a lot of these are using kind of Android as the base.
Okay.
Okay, but, you know, to declare it's like, here, it's Android for everybody.
No.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet.
But do you see where we could get there?
I don't.
No.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
So this is a case where the hardware is definitely tied to the software or vice versa.
Very much. Yeah. Very much. I mean, look, if you take a look at the investment track record alone for, and let's leave Apple out of the kind of conversation, but look, I bring up Magic Leap. You know, they had a terrific injection of investment towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
And that says to me, okay, this is a platform that's going to be around for a while. Let's see where it, you know, what happens from there. Okay. And Microsoft's not gone.
Well, that leads me to another question of do other companies need to get back into the space? Does Microsoft, because they dropped the HoloLens 3, right? Or they just said that they're not going to, I don't know. They're either not going to do it or they put it on pause. Google paused, mm-hmm, obviously. Mm-hmm, Sony mm-hmm. just announced their VR2, they're slowing production or halting production because mm-hmm. they haven't sold the ones that they've already made.
Right.
So does that indicate that Sony wants to get out of it? But again, that's gaming, and that's a little different than some of this category stuff. Like, do you think more companies need to be in to help revitalize this space and help it grow?
It definitely helps.
Yeah.
It definitely helps, because I think given where the market is right now, we are not at, you know, who's that gold standard? Who's the best of breed? That has yet to be determined. And the more, you know, competition you have out there saying, well, we do this piece best, and then we'll do, you know, another company says, well, this is our bread and butter and we do it better than anybody else. I think that's going to force, you know, greater competition, yeah, greater development going forward. And that can only help instead of.
So there is room for other players to be in the space.
Look, we're only looking about a couple million units right now in 2024. I mean,
I'm talking about this is you know, been around for 20 years. It does feel like VR has been around for 20 years in different forms. Okay. So are you still optimistic in this space moving forward? And I guess you have to, because this is your job covering this market. If the market goes away, they have to find something else for you to do, right?
Well, you know, here's a couple of reasons to be excited. Okay. And let's
and I got a follow up question too on that too.
Yeah, sure. Let's take this off almost kind of like company by company, yeah, too. Okay. You know, why to be excited about Apple? Okay. It's been six and a half weeks since the first device. It's the first device. Okay. And, you know, I was reading online from one person saying, yeah, you know what? It looks like the Vision Pro is, you know, an overdeveloped dev kit. I'm like, well, you know, even if it is,
yeah,
it's a great blueprint. And think of all the things you can have, you know, coming up off of this. Instead of having, let's say, you know, I don't know if it was 12 or 16 cameras, maybe you can get away with 8. If you have a battery that's, you know, goes for this long, maybe you can shortchange and, you know, go this much instead.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think, you know, to say that, you know, the war is over and you know, this is the way it's going to be from here on out. We know Apple's going to come back with something else.
Okay.
And it's going to be great.
Does that then become the hockey stick moment where you see your, you know, you see your little, your chart and then boom, it goes up. Is it, where do you see this hockey stick? Like that moment where it goes up and you start seeing exponential growth.
I think in the next 2 to 3 years, when we see the next version of Apple's, I don't want to call it Vision Pro. Yeah. Maybe it's just Vision.
Okay. Yeah.
And maybe it's cheaper. And maybe they have, you know, a much more robust and deeper application, you know, selection and library out there. Again, you know, the price has got to come down. And maybe it's lighter and easier to wear. Okay. And, you know, that's going to be part of the hockey stick,
yeah,
you know, effect over there. But I think.
But,
you know,
but do you feel that it has to be Apple?
I think it's one of them has to be Apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the moment doesn't happen if Apple is out or if Apple just keeps developing the Vision Pro, right?
It delays it. It delays it. But I don't think it will.
Okay.
I don't think it will.
Yeah.
And then if we take a look at what, you know, Meta has been up to, I mean, with their own Quest Pro, yeah, they are playing in that, you know, mixed reality space. So is Quest 3. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, is it, you know, the be all end all? No. But you know, is it steps ahead of the AVP in certain regards? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you know,
I always get the feeling the Quest 3 is in that whole VHS Betamax type of thing. It's like, you know, because again, Zuckerberg coming out going, well, we're so much better technically, and this, and we don't have motion blur, and this, you know, he starts listing all the tech stuff, and it's like, that's exactly what the Sony Betamax people were saying way back in the 80s, and that shows how old I am. But you know, Google Android. I mean, I see this all the time with Samsung Galaxy phone people. They're like, you know, Apple comes out with a feature, and they're like, oh, you know, we had this 3 years ago or 2 years ago. It's like, and you just get into this whole us versus them type of a thing. And that's what the Zuckerberg Quest thing is. But I'd like to try the Quest, I think, at least once. I suppose I'd like to try the Vision Pro as well.
A little bit easier on the wallet, too.
Yeah.
A little bit easier on the wallet.
I would agree. I think it does have to be Apple in order for that. Mm-hmm. That hockey stick moment to happen.
And that's what we've been, you know, kind of banking on too. So,
okay. Have you seen a killer app yet for any of these? Do you explore apps as well, or do you just stick to hardware?
I spend a lot of time in the app world.
Okay. Is there any app that's jumping out that goes to you as like, oh, this is great. Or is it still like, we're still waiting?
We're still waiting.
Oh,
we're still waiting.
Because,
you know, I you know, you said earlier that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg made a big deal that saying that, yeah, we are the social company. We are the social of, you know, virtual reality. And I tried Horizons and I tried their version. And I said, wow. Yeah, this is really not it for me.
Okay.
And then
what were you doing in the Horizons? Was it walking around the metaverse, or were you having a meeting?
I was trying to have a meeting.
Yeah.
I was trying. Now, here's the operative word of that. I was trying to have a meeting because it was myself and another guy I work with. And we said, hey, you know, we both have Quest 2s. Let's just meet up. And we're reasonably skilled at technology, both of us, but we couldn't get it to connect.
Yeah.
And like, look, if two analysts who cover tech can't do it,
right.
What does that say about, you know, Joe and Jane Smith right. on Main Street USA?
Like, did you saw the interview that Lex Fridman did, right? With Mark Zuckerberg, where they did a virtual meeting, and that was really impressive and creepy at the same time. But then you never saw anything else again. Like you never saw like a podcaster out there. Never like I'm never gonna do a virtual interview with anybody. I like having you here. The closest I get is Zoom, and that's it. But we don't do any fancy goofy icons and anything like that. Like I just don't think the technology is ready for something like that. We did try the Microsoft Teams, you know, where they can do avatars, and that freaked everybody out.
Like, it freaked me out too.
Yeah,
I mean, I think you said you know, perfectly. You know, nothing beats the real thing.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm talking to cartoons, and I am a cartoon, the entire experience is going to be what
cartoonish.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you know, given that option, you know, having you know the real deal, you know, sitting in front of you is going to make it, you know, that much that experience so much better.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As much as you know, as I'm tired of you know, say Zoom meetings and Teams meetings and you know every other kind of meeting that I gotta watch on either on my laptop or, you know, a much bigger screen, it's still overwhelming.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, is there a happy medium that VR could provide? I would hope so. I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah. You know what? So again, did you have to cover the area where people were trying to come up with virtual workplaces where you walk around a little 3D office and then... Mm-hmm. If you want to, that's when you can have your little video conference with them. Did you see any of those types of software?
I read about that.
Did you get pitched on those?
Oh boy, that's very Star Trek-y.
Yeah.
And
or like, let's try to make our communication or our collaboration more game-like. And I'm like, no. Like, no. Just...
Let's make collaboration communication resemble, collaboration communication.
Yeah. All right. So I'm just wondering what the kind of the dull and boring parts of your job are.
The fun and exciting piece is that, you know, you and I are about the same age, right? You know, nostalgia is a powerful thing. Okay. Nostalgia is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And,
yeah.
And you know, I was going through the Quest, you know, and because I share it with my son, and I was going to the library. I'm like, okay, seventh guest, missed.
Okay,
these are like games from my 1990s self. I'm like, I love these things,
right? And, or you thought you loved them,
and I still did because I remember how to play the puzzle. So you know, for those of us who are in tech and you know are of a certain age, they'll appreciate those nostalgic little bits, and pieces. And then at the same time, like my boss, he came onto a call and he says, "Guys, I just got back from playing 18." I'm like, "Great, congratulations! How'd you do?" He says, "Wait, I'm getting the stats and see how I did." And then he went on to explain it was all virtual. And he had a blast.
Wow.
He had a blast. And he was playing golf. He's based in the Midwest, but he was playing with somebody out in California. And they played, you know, a round of 18 together. And they just, you know, hung out and played. And
interesting.
Said, it's not the same exact thing, but it was close enough for what they wanted.
Okay.
So,
but overall, you're still generally optimistic about this. And you don't have to worry about finding another area to cover.
No.
All right. Ramon, thanks again for coming in.
Great job. Pleasure, man.
Let's see in a few more months when something else comes out. I'd love to have you back.
I'll be waiting.
All right. That's all the time we have for today's episode. Be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, add any thoughts you have below. Join us every week for new episodes of Today in Tech. I'm Keith Shaw. Thanks for watching.